Hello and welcome. If you've ever felt like your phone is running your day instead of the other way around, this episode is for you. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on a truth I've seen again and again in therapy rooms and coaching sessions. The difference between a breakthrough and a burnout isn't decided during treatment. It's decided during the assessment. When we start with better data, change gets easier, faster, and way more sustainable. Here's the twist that surprises most people. The headline isn't how many hours you're on your phone. The real story is how those hours affect your life. Your sleep, your focus, your relationships, your safety, your ability to feel okay without reaching for that glowing rectangle. Time matters, but function matters more. So let me give you the first game changer, and it's a simple one. Start with logs, not opinions. Our brains are terrible timekeepers for micro habits. Phone use happens in tiny bursts you barely remember. So when someone says, "I'm not on it that much," it's usually a guess. I once worked with a client who swore they only use their phone a little before bed. The logs told a different story. 58 to 72 minutes of doom scrolling, starting around 11 p.m. every night. No judgment. Just data that explained the morning fog and the afternoon caffeine cravings. For 2 weeks, not 2 days, pull objective usage. On iPhones, that's screen time. On Android, digital well-being. Don't worry about the step-by-step here. The written guide walks you through it. What we're looking for is simple. Total screen time, pickups, the top apps, and the times of day your usage spikes. If you can, tag context. Is it work, home, commuting, or bedtime? And here's a fun way to build instant buy-in. Before you look, guess your daily screen time. Then compare. The gap between perception and reality is the kind of wake-up call that makes change feel less like a lecture and more like a science experiment you're running on yourself. Why 2 weeks? Because life is lumpy. Mondays are different from Fridays, and a tough week at work doesn't look like a quiet one. With 14 days, you smooth the spikes and see the real pattern. Think of the logs as turning on the fog lights. Suddenly, the curves in the road show up. Now, once you've got a clean baseline, we bring in structured tools, but we use them wisely. I'm talking about short, validated questionnaires that map to how clinicians think about addiction. They're like getting your blood pressure taken. They give us a common language and a way to track change. Tools like the problematic use of mobile phone scale and the smartphone addiction scale. Short, quick, and designed for repeated check-ins help you see where you stand on things like cravings, tolerance, and failed attempts to cut back. But here's the counterintuitive move. Don't treat those scores like a verdict. Treat them like a yellow flag. I've seen people score high because they use their phones a lot for work. Engineers, healthcare staff, founders. Yet their sleep is solid. Their relationships are good, and their safety isn't compromised. That's heavy use. Not necessarily addiction. On the other hand, I've seen moderate users whose phone habits are wrecking their sleep, fueling anxiety, and causing fights at home. Those are red flags, even if the total hours look normal. So I use a quick impairment checklist alongside the scales. Rate from 1 to 5 how phone use is affecting your work or school performance, your sleep quality, your relationship satisfaction, your physical safety, and your emotional regulation. If your checklist is clean, but your scale score is high, you probably need better boundaries, not a full-on detox. If the checklist lights up, we've got something to work on. At this point, you've got the what. Now we map the why. That's the third game changer most people skip. A 24-hour trigger map using a simple ABC lens. What happens before you reach for the phone? Antecedent. What you do, behavior, and what you get from it, consequence. Think of it like tracing the wiring behind a light switch. You flip it out of habit, but there's a reason that circuit is so satisfying. Phone cravings rarely show up at random. They cluster. Bedtime when the house finally goes quiet. Work breaks after a hard meeting. The commute when your brain wants a reward. Moments of stress, boredom, or loneliness. Lay your day out like a timeline and mark the hot zones. Morning could be snooze, scroll, rush. Midday might be meeting ends, I'm fried, Instagram. Evening might be kids in bed, brain hungry, TikTok till midnight. Then do tiny in-the-moment check-ins, what researchers call experience sampling. But you can just think of it as notes in the wild. Two or three times a day, ask yourself, what just happened? How am I feeling? What did I reach for? Did it help? Make it quick enough that you actually do it. These micro notes turn your day into a map you can act on. Here's why this matters. Interruptions aren't small. After a ping pulls you away, it can take around 20 minutes to get back to your original level of focus. So those just a second checks aren't seconds. They're toll booths on your attention highway. When you see that clearly in your own day, it gets a lot easier to try different routes. And that's where we start designing experiments, not rules. If bedtime is the trap, move the charger out of the bedroom and lay a paperback on your pillow. Set Do Not Disturb to kick in an hour before lights out, and put a boring, non-urgent app on your home screen. A crossword, a Kindle app, you the novel. So if you do reach for something, it's at least aligned with rest. If your danger zone is the post-meeting slump, preload your break with frictionless alternatives. A playlist that starts with one tap, a two-minute breathing app, a short walk, a call to a friend who always makes you laugh. If the commute is the trigger, make your go-to habit a podcast you love, not a social feed that spirals. None of this is about willpower. It's about reshaping the path of least resistance. Let me loop back to the big picture, because it's easy to get lost in the details. The goal isn't to live a smaller life with fewer apps. It's to live a fuller life with better boundaries. Your phone can be a tool, a toy, or a trap. Assessment helps you tell which one it's being in which moments and why. So if you want to start today, here's a simple three-step sprint. Guess your daily screen time. Don't look yet. Take a real guess. Pull your last 2 weeks of usage and circle the top two apps and the top two time windows where you're most likely to lose yourself. Those are your high leverage targets. For the next 3 days, do a 30-second check-in right after one of those windows. What happened right before? How did I feel? What did I hope the phone would do for me? Soothe, distract, connect, reward? On the fourth day, preload one alternative for that exact moment. Keep it simple and visible. And if you're a clinician or a coach, fold in the tools with humility. Use brief scales to anchor the conversation. Pair them with an impairment checklist so you don't mistake heavy use for harmful use or miss harmful use because the total hours look ordinary. Keep your eye on sleep, relationships, safety, mood regulation, and functioning at work or school. That's where the story really lives. One last thought. People sometimes ask me, isn't this all a bit much? Can't I just decide to cut back? You can. And sometimes that works, for a week. But if you've tried just be better and bounced, it's not because you're weak. It's because you were fighting fog. With logs, a few smart questions, and a map of your day, the fog lifts. You stop arguing with yourself and start designing a day that quietly supports the person you want to be. Everything we talked about, the practical steps for iPhone and Android, the names of the scales, the cutoffs, the templates for that two-week baseline and the impairment checklist, it's all in the written guide. But you don't need to memorize any of it to get started. Just remember the three pillars. Objective data beats opinions. Impairment beats hours. And triggers tell the truth. Try it this week. Guess, measure, map. I think you'll be surprised by what you find and encouraged by how quickly it starts to change once you're working with the grain of your own life. Thanks for listening. If this sparked something for you, share it with someone who might want a calmer, clearer relationship with their phone. And when you're ready for the rest of the game-changing tips, the full guide is waiting for you.